And I do that the same with other people. Like I watch your stories, I watch, everybody else's stories, because that's where that connection comes in. Because no matter how many reels you post and no matter how many really educational carousels that you post, your personality comes out in the stories. That's where people get to know you. And people buy from people that they know and trust.
Hey, babe, welcome to the Sales and Social Podcast. I'm so freaking excited that you are here with me today. Are you ready to simplify your sales and learn to sell in a way that feels good, but also brings you in more consistent cash? If you find yourself feeling like you're doing all the things on social media, but it's not converting, you feel like you have inconsistent cash months, but you desire more recurring revenue, and you just want to sell in a way that feels good without feeling salesy and also have a lot of fun on your journey to entrepreneurship, you are in the right place. Hey, I'm Jillian. I'm your sales queen and your soon-to-be podcast BFF. 22 years in the corporate sales space, losing my job during the pandemic, having no freaking idea what I was going to do, but knowing that I had a God-given talent for sales, I quickly shifted to the online space, where I have not only been able to grow my own personal business from zero to 500K in just 18 months with nothing more than a Zoom link, a paper planner, and a whiteboard. I've helped hundreds and hundreds of others scale their businesses and explode their sales. So grab your beverage of choice, a pen and a paper if you're anything like me, and let's dive into today's juicy episode.
What's up, babes? Welcome back to the podcast. I have the beautiful Kira Palmer on today, and we are going to talk about so many amazing topics. But before we dive into today's episode, I am actually going to turn it over to her and let her do a quick intro of who she is and what she does.
Thank you so much, Jillian. I'm so happy to be with you on your awesome new podcast. Thank you for having me. My name is Kira Palmer, and I've known Jillian for quite some time, and I am in the social media space. I own a digital marketing agency here in Atlanta, Georgia. It's called The Social Project, and probably 90% of our business is in social media management and paid advertisements. Now, we do other things that, you think about when you think of digital marketing, like building websites and SEO and all of that fun stuff, but majority of our business is in social media. And I've been doing that for quite some time since I left corporate, and it's provided me an awesome life. And now I'm even pivoting into more and creating online courses for people as well.
Awesome. So let's talk about you leaving corporate and your journey from corporate to the online space, because I have a lot of listeners that are in the corporate space right now and people that have left corporate. So let's talk about kind of your journey from corporate to the online space.
So it's funny because I tend to teach people to not do what I did because
I love it. It
was not the smartest thing that I've ever done, but I was in the commercial insurance space for 11 years and I was a broker and we did like high-risk commercial property, which is like hurricanes, terrorism, earthquakes, that kind of stuff. So it was interesting, but I was miserable. It was a very high demand job, 90 plus hours a week. Vacation was very frowned upon. I just was miserable. I made a lot of money and that was great. But like, what's the point in making a lot of money if every day when you wake up, you're just so miserable.
And
so,
like, you don't even want to go in. You're like, oh, I'd rather literally go work at the Dairy Queen.
Oh, 100%. I even like would think about, this is when you know, right? When I'm driving to work and I think, well, If I accidentally got in a car accident that wasn't that bad, and then I had to like go to the doctor right afterwards, then I could just like not have to be at work, and then I wouldn't get in trouble for it. I mean, It was just stupid stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Or like maybe if I got a flat tire, I would be okay right now.
Yes. So the day that I decided to quit, I had had this night out planned with this group of girls that we've been friends with, I mean, just since college, right? Or right after. So as you know, when you get older, it's really hard to plan things when people have children and stuff like that. So we had planned this night out to go see The Lion King that was coming to the Fox Theater in Atlanta. And I mean, like 6 months in advance. And I remember telling my boss at the time, like weeks in advance, like I am leaving at 4 p.m. on January, whatever it was. And like over and over and over again, I told him that. And come the day that I'm supposed to leave at 4 p.m. to go meet my girlfriends who haven't seen him forever, he comes into my office about 20 minutes before I'm supposed to leave and drops this massive project on my desk. And he's like, this has to be done today, period. So I'm like going through. I end up leaving at like 6. So I miss the drinks and all that stuff. And on my way to meet them right before the show, my boss called me and was like, I need you to manipulate the spreadsheet. And I'm like, I am on the interstate right now. I cannot do this. And he's like, well, you use your phone as a hotspot, pull up your laptop and just like do it as you're sitting in traffic. And I'm like, this is insanity. Like, he's wanting me to work on my computer while I'm driving on the interstate. So I get there. I'm very upset, obviously, because I've missed the whole time. And not to mention my boss wanted me to do something incredibly dangerous. So yeah. I walk in and what you said, they were like, Kira, this is so bad. Like, isn't it better to like work at Starbucks or something like that where you're not in this anymore? Like, it's really hard to watch you in this. So I was like, you're right. And then some other stuff happened. And then that night I went home and I told my significant other, it's like, this is just really bad. And I stayed up all night at the dining room table thinking about what I wanted to do. And I put on a hat and my workout clothes. I went into the office the next morning and I was like, 3 weeks notice, I'm out. And I had no plan.
You had nothing. You were just like, I'm
yes.
out.
Yes. And I said, so that's why I'm like, don't do that. If you know you want to leave corporate, let's make a plan. Okay.
But do you feel that you were successful in your space because you didn't have a plan B?
Yeah. And it's funny because that's to the point where you have to really decide, okay, what am I going to do? You have bills, you know, you have all these responsibilities. Now, luckily it had a lot of savings and stuff like that, that I could rely on for a few months, but then it went into this world of like, okay, what now? What am I going to do now? And I even got another job, but I was doing social media on the side for a few people because I had started my travel account back in like 2016. When it was like really easy to grow on Instagram.
When you just like put a picture up of your like cheesecake like, and you became Instagram famous.
Yes. Like hashtag travel. And then you get, you know, the like Italy and Paris thing that you see her do. That's what I was doing really. So I was learning it. I was really interested in it. And then because I was having such success, I had a few other people say, hey, if we pay you, can you do this for us too? And so that's how it all started. And then as I went and got that other job, I was like, this is terrible. This is not for me. I have always known somewhere deep inside of me that like, I am an entrepreneur. I use the word like, you know, the rebel. I'm like, I don't want to follow society's path that they set for me. I just don't want to, but I didn't know what that looked like. So when I was in corporate that last time, when I went and got another job, I knew that I wasn't going back to insurance. So I ended up my last job was at this like really small marketing company. And I was really excited about it because of social media and stuff like that, that I already knew how to do, but it ended up becoming more of like a business development role. And I wasn't doing what I love to do. So when the pandemic hit, that was the time that it was like, okay, now I'm having that job went away. Here's my opportunity. And so I went full force into social media, like telling everybody that I knew that this is what I'm going to be doing full time. I had great references from clients that I already had. So that was, you know, great testimonials and things like that. And I replaced my corporate income within like a month.
That's amazing.
Like, boom. And what you were saying before, it like lights something in you, right? Like, you know, you have responsibilities, you know, you've got to pay your bills, you know, you don't want to drain your savings.
Yeah.
So it becomes almost like, not, I don't want to say desperation, but the motivation that like, that lights that fire under you is like nothing you've ever felt before when you don't have a choice or you don't have 6 months to figure it out, which I know you know a lot about too. So,
yeah. So did you go from doing just like people social media to then opening up your own agency?
Yeah. So I remember thinking like, okay, let's make it legal. So I went on like inkfile.com or to set up the business in Georgia and set up a bank account, you know, all the systems that I knew and just started telling everybody, this is what I'm doing full time. And, you know, there's some proof in the pudding, like I said already, because I had a few clients that were like side hustle. I'd already had success in my own world. And so once people knew that I was doing that, they easily gravitated toward me, which was great. And then after about a few months of doing that, I hired Julianne, who is like the greatest of the greatest employees. But it just like boom, 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 boom. Right during the pandemic, when so many people were sitting at home and binging Netflix and doing all that and kind of working from home and doing all that, I didn't do any of that. I went after it, you know, Right.
So being in the social media space, which is like everyone's biggest nightmare, what do you see as some of the biggest like mistakes that people make on social media? You guys grab a pen and paper. This is probably going to get good. What do you think are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to social media?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, social media is not the social media that we all knew 3-4 years ago. It's just not, you know, Instagram is probably my favorite platform because it's so robust. There's all these features that you can use for your business. And, you know, this is the reason why I have a job, right? I mean, it's really involved. So people think that they can still put up a square photo of something that, even if it makes sense for your brand, you know, write out a small caption, throw in some hashtags, and then leave the platform. Or they're still doing things like really bad strategies for growth. And the things that I always tell people, you do not do, like absolutely do not do these things.
What are some of those?
Number one, do not play the follow and unfollow game. Do not go follow a bunch of people and then unfollow them later. That is so icky. I see professional people telling people to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's infuriating to me because you're not building an authentic audience. Mm-hmm. You're also going to, if those people find out that you've done that, they're going to just unfollow you. Or number three, like you're just going to put a bad taste in people's mouth for you. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, I see people doing these like massive like loop giveaways where, you know, win a trip to Bali. And back in like 2015, 16, a lot of like travel accounts would do that, but they partner together and then they gain followers who actually wanted to see their content because they were like really interested, right? Now it's not, it's like, oh, I want to win a free iPad. So they'll follow you.
Tag a billion people, right?
Yes. Yep. And they'll follow you. And then once the giveaway's over, they unfollow you. And if they don't unfollow you, they don't really give a crap about your content. Yep. So that really hurts your engagement, mm-hmm. like horribly, right?
Horribly.
Like just horribly. A third is engagement groups. So a lot of people, again, this worked back in the day, but it doesn't now because Instagram, as you know, or some of these other platforms, they're incredibly intelligent. The uh-huh. AI and all that behind it is very, very intelligent. So if you are commenting and the same 10 people are the only ones who ever comment on your post, they have nothing to do with your niche. Like Instagram knows that. So, uh-huh. but it's not authentic. You're not going to get customers from that. So like, this is pointless. And then lastly, buying followers or buying likes and comments mm-hmm. and all that. You would be very surprised at how many people still do that because they want to be seen as an authority or something like that. But everything has changed. You know, you used a couple of years ago, you had to have 10,000 followers in order mm-hmm. to put a link in your stories. Now yep. anybody can do
anyone
that.
Anyone can do
that. So, you know, and I know that people online are making a shit ton of money. Ooh, sorry, if I can pass.
Oh, you get to wear. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, they're making a shit ton of money online, and some of them only have like 1,000 followers. So,
oh, yeah. I was making multiple six figures yeah. under 2,000 followers.
Exactly. So, your follower count does not equal success, mm-hmm. period.
And do you think, I don't think it even matters anymore. I don't think people even look at that.
No,
anymore.
No.
Like, I don't think anybody comes to my page and they're like, oh, I don't know if I should hire Jillian because she has 2,200 followers.
Exactly. I mean, I think that if you're putting out incredible content, like people are going to gravitate towards that. And mm-hmm. it does, like I said, big following does not equal success. And the only time that I think it really matters for people to have very large following is if you're like an influencer where you're being paid on the reach and all of that. However, if you're doing it all the wrong way and your engagement is still crazy low, mm-hmm. then you're not going to be able to work with those big brands because they'll see that in your analytics. Yeah.
Do you feel that reels are the way to get more reach?
So, I mean, if you're not paying attention to like the CEO of Instagram and what he's saying every week, you know, you may not know all these things that are going on behind the scenes, but a few weeks ago, there was like major drama in the social media world because people were like so mad at Instagram for all of these changes that they're making. And, you know, Instagram started off as a photo sharing app. So mm-hmm. people still love to share photos. They love to show carousels with information and things like that. And
so like I do a lot of carousels. Are those bad?
Yeah. No, they're great. They're okay. So great because they capture the people's attention and it keeps them scrolling through.
Okay.
But the problem that everyone is facing right now is that they have pushed video content so much on the users that if you're not posting video content, meaning your reels, you're not being pushed out to all these new people. They're not showing your content to your followers. They're not showing your content to new people if it's like photos and stuff. Now, maybe a little bit. And people with very large accounts are still getting seen, but there's been a lot of uproar about it. So the last 2 weeks, every Friday, the CEO of Instagram answers questions that people put in his little question box on Thursday. And every week for the last like 3 or 4 weeks, people are commenting about why aren't my followers seeing my stuff? Mm-hmm. And why are you taking away photos? And he's saying that they are working very hard behind the scenes to bring that back so that they will have the same type of reach, that they will, you know, still matter, because mm-hmm. they do. We really rely on them, especially as a business, if you're trying to share information. And unfortunately, with a real situation, it's becoming boring and mm-hmm. annoying, because it's
like, I don't want to see the same person doing the same thing. Yes,
whatever's trending. And that's I feel like they've shot themselves in the foot a little bit, you know, I mean, because every time there's like a trend, everybody jumps on it. So if there's a trending sound and you're scrolling through, it's like the same 3 or 4 sounds and people like, you know, dun, dun, brr, the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like this, like the lions and tigers and bears, how like, yes. like how do you stand out?
Yeah. And you can't, and that's why, you know, with our clients and stuff like that, we really push the original content. If you want to use a trending song just to be picked up, that's great, but turn the volume down and add your own, you know, voiceover to it.
So that would be like you talking, you teaching.
Yes.
Okay.
But unfortunately, at this time, you really have to be using them if you want to grow on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You need to be using the video content. And you know, they're working on a lot of things. I mean, I could spend a whole hour telling you all these updates or things that they're testing and all of that. But I will say that, you know, people are finding success on other platforms like TikTok mm-hmm. and Pinterest. So it's really about, you know, what mm-hmm. do you prefer? You know?
Yeah. I know we talked about like a little bit about like the mistakes that people are making. So I would say like, if they are listening to this episode and they do like Instagram, what are some things that they should be doing or can be doing to still utilize the platform well?
So I would say, like we were just saying, like try to come up with original content. So
what does that mean to someone who's listening to this and doesn't know?
So original content means like, don't go in and pick a trending sound, mouth the words and whatever and go with it. The same thing that everybody's doing. Try to pick something that's unique. And a way to do that, which side note, anytime something is trending on TikTok, you can bet that in 2 to 3 weeks, it's going to be trending on Instagram. It always seems to start in the TikTok space. So, but on TikTok for months, it was very different from Instagram. People were talking to the camera, right? And teaching you that way here. So three things to da 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 da, right? Now I see that in the last couple of months, I've seen it become really big on Instagram. And that I think is one of the most valuable things that you can do right now. Whatever your product is, whatever your business is, sit down, create like a plan and like a calendar plan. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm going to talk about this, this, and this, and then come up with a plan on how you're going to do it. Say Monday, I'm going to talk to the camera. On Tuesday, maybe I'll pick a trending song, but put words, you know, that match whatever I'm trying to teach mm-hmm. that go with it. Right.
And any certain amount of time it should be or no?
Yes. So statistically speaking, shorter videos perform much, much better. So mm-hmm. anything, I think if you aim between like 5 and 10 seconds, or those are the ones that are really picking up, because I mean, as humans, we lose attention spans very, very quickly. So, mm-hmm. you know, and if someone's scrolling, you've got a minute reel that's not super entertaining or not super informative, people are going to keep scrolling. So, yeah. So I would say maybe stick around 7 seconds below, and those do very well usually.
Okay. Those are good. Those are good tips. Those are good tips for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, social media is such a great place. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with it.
I was just going to say, so if someone who is in social media, I was going to say, do you love it or do you hate it?
I love it in terms of just what you can do with it. I mean, I've created an entire business from social mm-hmm. media by itself, and I'm seeing people like you and your clients, and I mean, just people who are becoming very successful just by utilizing one or two platforms, right? Mm-hmm. So it's an incredible, incredible thing that you can utilize in your business. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I get a little bit hateful about my love-hate relationship is that it sometimes, if it's just you and you're trying to crank out all the stuff, it takes the fun out of it, right? It becomes almost like a job. And I mean, like I said, there is a reason why I have a company, because a lot of people don't want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why we get it outsourced all the time to take it off of business owners' plates. But that's kind of my hate thing with it, because they've kind of almost made it now where like, oh, if you're not on it every day, we're going to punish you. And it's almost become like a stressful addition to entrepreneurs, at least, and I've seen, you know, it really stresses some people out, especially like when they need to, you know, make sure you're posting reels and make sure you're doing this, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And that's the only thing that it really is kind of bothering me right now. Well, that and the fact that they're pushing, you know, the trending content where, you know, picking up and we're seeing the same stuff over and over again. I really go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I really hope that the CEO, Adam, is going to do what he's saying and that they're going to really start promoting original content like we were just talking about and picking back up photos and things like that.
So one of the things that, you know, that I love to talk about is selling through Instagram stories. Like, I'm obsessed with Instagram stories.
Yes.
But the more you sell, the more that you get on Instagram stories, the better. So is there any hacks? Is there any tricks on how to grow the amount of people that see your Instagram stories?
So So one thing that you want to do is encourage people to react to your stuff. Yeah. Because the more that they do that, everybody right now, if you open your phone and you open Instagram, the first people that are in your stories at the top are the people that you engage with the most,
yes,
whether you're watching the most, whether you're DMing the most, like, I mean, with whoever you're most involved with, because yeah, I'm telling you right now, my best friend cannot post anything for 2 months. And as soon as she gets on her stories, it's one of the first things that pops up on my, you know, bubbles, because she and I DM all the time. So, okay, you know, that's something that you need to pay attention to. So if you really want people to see your content, you want to get them reacting to your posts by telling them, hey, you guys, did you see this? Go give it some love. Or putting engagement stickers within your stories, like slides, questions, polls, all those things that promote engagement. Because as you do that, it picks you up more, and then they're going to keep coming back because it's going to keep moving to the front of their home screen when they open up the thing. So you're so great about talking about selling in the stories. And on my side, I always tell my clients, you know, who we may be managing their feed and reposting some stories and stuff, but it all falls on you, because we talk about like human interaction. That is your stories, right? That is how everybody who's following you gets to know you, your behind the scenes, your life, who you are as a person, what you like, all these personal aspects that you can add into your stories that creates this sense of, you know, the like, no trust funnel, right? They're getting to know you and they don't even really realize it. And, you know, when you're selling something, a product or a new course or whatever it is, if they feel that they know you and they feel like they trust you, they're like 100 times more likely to buy from you.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you look at my stories, even on days, because I've been kind of taking my own like little bit of a social media break here recently, but even days where like I don't feel like it, I'll just pop on my stories and talk about football or, you know, this guy at the gym or something, just to keep that interaction up. Mm-hmm. Like, this is my life. This is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then I can't even explain to everybody. And I know you talk about this a lot, as you know, obviously your podcast, but people notice when you're on and when you're not on, and all these people that you never think are even paying any attention to what you're saying or what you're doing. You know, there can be like 6 months down the road and they reach out to you and they're like, hey, so I saw that you were doing this. I'd really like to talk to you about it. Or, you know,
absolutely,
I'd like to really look more into this. And this has happened to me more times than I can count. Like, people I haven't spoken to in years.
Yep.
You know, reaching out to me and being like, I love what you're doing on Instagram, or I love what you're doing. I'd love to know more about your services.
Or you're like, what? Where have you been?
I'm like, oh my gosh, how's life? How's your baby? You know, but they do that because they're constantly watching life go by. And I do that the same with other people. Like, I watch your stories. I watch, you know, everybody else's stories, because that's where that connection comes in. Because no matter how many reels you post, and no matter how many really educational carousels that you post, your personality comes out in the stories. That's where people get to know you, and people buy from people that they know and trust.
Yeah, it's so true. So speaking of that, how do people work with you?
So we have an agency. So we have monthly retainer packages that we build depending on your needs, right? We have, everybody can think of, we have single entrepreneurs who we only manage their Instagram, to, you know, hotels and restaurants where we're on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and print shops, chiropractors. I mean, we work with everybody. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on what you're looking for, right? So we will work with, you know, incoming clients and talk to them about what they're looking for and what platforms they want to be on, how often they want to be on the platform. And we basically build packages around what you need. And I am so passionate about, as you know, I'm so passionate about people like going after a different life than the corporate if you're miserable. And there's so much opportunity on the online space, which I've created, you know, and I'm not special. I'm no different from anybody else. I just learned it, right? So with that, I have the agency. We run people's social media. We help with websites and things like that. But in addition to that, I've created, I think they're coming out in October, November, 3 online courses. One is like an Instagram masterclass. I mean, it is so in depth of everything you need to know about Instagram. The second one is a course on how to become a social media manager. So if you're looking to get a job with clients on the social media space, I take you from, you know, starting your business, filing it legally, how to find your clients, pitching, and then the nitty gritty about the platforms as well. Like, how do you do this? How do you set up your business pages? How do you set up, you know, ads on Facebook, all that. So that's the second one. And then the third one that's going to come out after those two are teaching other people how to build their online courses so that they can make money online. Because honestly, it seems overwhelming to a lot of people that, you know, leaving a job and going and creating your own thing, but it's so much easier than people think, as long as you have the right tools and you're mm-hmm. learning what you need to know to do it.
That's awesome. Well, I know I'm so excited for those courses to come out. They're going to be a game changer for so many entrepreneurs. So you guys, if you guys listen to this podcast episode, make sure you are reaching out to Kira, slide into her DMs, definitely get to know her. You know that there's nobody that I bring on the podcast that I don't massively edify. Kira, thank you for sharing all of your wisdom and all of your knowledge today with everything going on in social media. Definitely cannot wait for people to hear this episode and get so many of those juicy nuggets. So again, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And yes, of course, if anybody wants questions answered on social media, DM me and I gotcha. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Of course. Thank you so much for tuning into the Sales and Social Podcast. If today's episode has you fired up and you loved it, could you do me a huge favor and leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or take a screenshot and share it on social media. And don't forget to tag your business bestie. And while you're there, connect with me on the gram at the Jillian Murphy. I'm on a mission to change the mindset of sales. I want people to love sales because the reality is sales is the foundation of everything you do. It's how your business generates revenue consistently. So show up and be unapologetic about selling, because once you fall in love with selling, babe, sky's the limit. So I'll catch you on the next episode. But until then, feel free to slide into my DMs because I cannot wait to get to know you better.